On this first Sunday in Lent, we pick up the gospel narrative where we left it after the first Sunday in Epiphany, that is, back at Jesus' baptism in the Jordan. Since then, our gospel readings focus first on the calling of the disciples and then double down on Jesus' challenging teachings at the Sermon on the Mount. In today's gospel, we jump with whiplash-like force away from those teachings of Jesus and chronologically return back to John the Baptist in the wilderness. There we find the Spirit, after alighting upon Jesus in the waters of the Jordan, the Spirit now drives Jesus deeper into that very wilderness, far from the crowds lining up for John's baptism of repentance. One moment, Jesus is being called the beloved Son. The next, he's in the middle of nowhere, deprived of the familiar and of food. This is such a reversal in fortune that it reminds me of something St. Teresa of Avila is supposed to have said to God. That is, that if this is how you treat your friends, Lord, no wonder you have so few of them. But I think St. Teresa spoke it with a Spanish accent, not a Texas. If we attempt to listen to this story with new ears, ears that have not heard this story of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness so much so that it has become normalized for us, we may be able to hear that nothing sounds normal about this story. It is very supernatural from the moment that the Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness. We are told that Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, no food at all, for 24/7 for almost 6 weeks. Now, there are modern accounts of humans living longer than 6 weeks without food. But I wonder if the average ancient Palestinian's diet was such that there was enough body fat for the body to burn for over 6 weeks. This fast of 40 days and nights, it too smacks of the supernatural, or at the very least, superhuman. And then there is this character of the tempter, the devil. Some think this figure personifies the internal human will that is actively hostile to God, while others see this character as an external source or being that can exert power over people. However you choose to understand this character, it demonstrates supernatural powers, adding a further sense of unreality to this story. And then there are the three temptations: greed, pride, power. Few humans can withstand the temptation of this trifecta, especially a human stretched to his or her capacity after 40 days without food in this isolated wilderness. But Jesus does withstand, remaining obedient to his heavenly Father. No, this gospel reading is not a normal story at all, leading one commentator to assert that due to its mythic qualities, this story doesn't deal with everyday human experience. Perhaps, but I disagree. This may be a supernatural story, a mythic-like story, but I do believe this gospel speaks of everyday human experience, because we sometimes find ourselves tempted and in personal and metaphorical wildernesses. Those times of wilderness we experience may range from health issues, the death of a loved one, challenges with our finances, our marriages, our children, our jobs, or our hopes for our lives or for those of whom we love. I visit with people on a regular basis who are experiencing some type of wilderness or another and who struggle to find God, to remain faithful, and to not succumb to despair. and temptations? They are many, are they not? For we too are lured by our hungers, hungers for more than mere bread. We modern people are in a constant state of consumption in a world of 24-hour news cycles, trending stories, and staying current through various social media technologies, blogging, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Reddit, YouTube, Pinterest. We are consuming these various means of staying connected at alarming rates. Beyond social media and getting our fake or real news fix, we have so many ways to feed our need to consume in our consumer society. With the availability of large amounts of discretionary income and consumer credit, our society now purchases and consumes goods far beyond our basic needs. It is sometimes challenging for those of us who follow Jesus to hear the words he spoke, that we are more than what we eat, more than what we consume. Instead, Jesus' voice from the wilderness reminds us we are to be formed by what comes from God, not by those things we think we cannot live without. And the other two temptations Jesus experienced in the wilderness, I know that I have been seduced by pride and desire for control. Haven't you? We hunger for attention to achieve something spectacular and forget that we are called to work together. It's not about us. We subtly assert our desires, our roles, our expectations on others rather than look to the good of our team, our family, or whatever community we may find ourselves in. The Holy Scriptures have long been interpreted as having allegorical meaning. Once the disciples and the first generation of Christians that were formed by the disciples died, those left behind began to write down the stories they were told of Jesus. For those stories had transformed them and those who had gone before them. We dismiss the Holy Scriptures as irrelevant to our own lives at our own peril. They are one of the means by which God transforms us more and more into his likeness, more and more into who we were meant to be when God planted us in our mother's wombs. To have a holy Lent, as you were exhorted to do on Ash Wednesday, enter once again deeply into Jesus' life. It may be harder, more challenging to do that in Lent and leading up to the events of Holy Week compared to the bucolic and tranquil images of Jesus' nativity, the shepherds, the angels, the wise men, and the star. But this is the real work, the real life in which we enter when we choose to follow Jesus, when we choose to follow and be formed by Jesus. The Spirit will always lead us into the wilderness, where things seem unfamiliar and we lose our bearings. But the purpose of the wilderness for us will be for the same as it was for Jesus. We will be strengthened and fortified for the ministry and lives God has already made ready for us ahead.